that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. For 30 years, painter Francis Miller has been bringing to life birds and animals using the gorgeously subtle medium of transparent watercolors. Francis Miller is currently showing her works at Chico's Snidel Gallery. We'll talk to her in detail about the art of painting real-life creatures on watercolor paper. Also on today's program, we'll start the celebration for next Thursday's holiday, Thanksgiving. We'll play classic comedy sketches and an original song by a Chico singer-songwriter all about Thanksgiving. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse features a holiday favorite adapted from the classic Dickens story, A Christmas Carol. The play starts at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow with a 2 o'clock Sunday matinee. Tomorrow, the Reading Civic Auditorium welcomes funny man Joe Coy for an evening of laughs. His set starts at 8 o'clock. At the Orland Art Center, Talent Times 3, a trio of women painters have created landscapes, Western scenes, and florals. Center hours, 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. On to Chico. The Blue Room Theater presents Reservoir Dolls, a live, all-female take on Quentin Tarantino's entertaining but savage indie film classic. Only two more chances to catch this show, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Coming to the big room stage at Sierra Nevada Monday night, Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys. Enjoy Creole classics as well as the group's own brand of contemporary Zydeco, starting at 7:30. Chico State's Janet Turner Print Museum hosts the Meaning of Life Visual Anthology. Contemplate life's meaning at this exhibit of art prints and the printed word. The Turners open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Jackie Headley University Art Gallery at Chico State features the exhibit Vanished, a chronicle of loss and discovery across a half a million years. This project showcases four North State treasures, now gone but still remembered. University Art Gallery hours, 10 to 4 Monday through Friday, and noon to 4 on Saturday. Next Thursday, the Chico Art Center closes its exhibit, Dia de los Muertos, a traditional Mexican celebration of the dead. With artwork, altars, and poetry, this show honors ancestors and loved ones who've passed over to the other side. Art Center hours, 10 to 4 Saturday and Sunday, and noon to 4 Monday through Thursday. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge presents The Games Afoot, or Homes for the Holidays. In the 1930s, an actor, who's famous for playing Sherlock Holmes on stage, has to become a sleuth himself when murder interrupts the Christmas festivities. This madcap whodunit plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Opening tonight at the Acting Company in Yuba City, a 1940s radio Christmas carol. It's Christmas Eve at a hole-in-the-wall studio in Newark, New Jersey. The Feddington Players are attempting to broadcast their take on Dickens' famous story, but nothing is going right. See this comedy drama tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 2. On stage at Grass Valley's Center for the Performing Arts, The Garcia Project. More than just a cover band, The Garcia Project channels the feelings and emotions that inspired fans of Jerry Garcia's music through the years. truck on down to the center for this performance, which starts at 8. That's the calendar for this week. Celebrating a birthday today, one of America's foremost filmmakers, Martin Scorsese. Now more than ever, says Scorsese, we need to talk to each other, to listen to each other, and to understand how we see the world. And cinema is the best medium for doing this.
Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with watercolor wizard Francis Miller, who has a show that's open right now at the James Snidle Gallery, open daily in Chico. You can go down and see Francis Miller's exquisite watercolors. There's going to be a reception December 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. It's also going to be a Christmas party. Francis, you were telling me before you became a watercolor artist about 30 years ago, you practiced in other mediums.
I painted in oils and acrylics and did some sculpture in stone. Once I painted in watercolors, I just loved it. And so I wanted to pursue that direction.
You had a mentor, Lois Perkins, who's also a very well-known local artist. She began to introduce you to watercolors.
She's been great, just been my mentor. We both like the same kind of art and direction. I really value her friendship.
There are some people who are terrified of transparent watercolor because it's very difficult to correct mistakes. But you, in fact, are fearless.
I am. There's a lot of myths with watercolor. Like I start off light, you can keep working and working. And then if all else fails, you can use opaque on top. But you'll find you very rarely have to do that.
What is particularly appealing to you about watercolor?
It does its own thing a lot of times. You let it run and it mixes by itself. You can paint on it for so long that it's easy to clean up, not hard to store, and you work on paper, so it's great. I love painting in watercolor.
There's a great sense of light in your watercolors, of luminosity.
That's just a basic concept of mine. You remember to keep the lights. That way you're not going to mess up so much.
You have a particular feeling for eyes. I'm looking right now at a very beautiful rabbit that you've painted with eyes that look as if you could look into them.
I've always been interested in eyes, part of the soul you try and capture. I really enjoy doing the eyes.
The ears are filled with color, pinks and orange, that looks as if the sun is shining through the skin. You had, as a child, contact with farm animals in your backyard, and also you had an uncle who raised rabbits.
I lived in the city, but the city was more country then. So we had chickens, a dog, a cat, and I got a rabbit, a runt from my uncle. He had a rabbit ranch. They did away with the runts, so I said, I want one of the runts. Turned out it got really big.
This is such a carefully observed rabbit. I can see the little girl remaining in you and truly loving this rabbit.
Because I was a city girl and we moved up to a ranch, which I always liked the outdoors, I was in heaven. We had animals of all kinds. I have three sons and they raised birds. We had cattle and geese and everything imaginable, a peacock and pheasants. Living around them, you get to watch them and enjoy them.
Well, you look at these animals truly with an artist's eye. You see so much that many people would glance and not find these telling details. I'm looking at this bunny, and he has kind of an overbite.
I've learned so much by doing the artwork of them. It's amazing. The more you do, the more you learn.
Francis, in addition to observing birds from a distance, you had a really direct encounter with a falcon.
We went to the Falcon Institute, which teaches falconry, and they do have tours. And we went a tour for the day. It was marvelous. And we got to see the animals up close, had one eat out of my hand, which I was afraid, scared to death, which you were in a glove, but I thought it would knock me over, but it didn't, just landed very gently. It was really exciting to see their eyes and their wonderful abilities.
And you have depicted such a creature that'll be in the Snidal show.
Yes, and I've painted quite a few of them. It was just the thrill of watching them dive bomb after their prey, and you think they're going to go right in the earth, but they pull up just at the right time. And then they can see over a mile.
You've just described what it's like to be a watercolor artist. You just dive in there fearlessly, and you can see everything for a mile.
Pretty much.
Have you ever gone to zoos to study the animals?
Oh, yes. I went to the San Diego Zoo and spent a couple days there. It was wonderful. That's where I got the polar bear.
You have a flamingo. Let's take a look at this flamingo, particularly for its color. I'm trying to guess what colors of paint you'd use to create this effect.
Red and orange. And I think the reason they're that color, it's something they eat.
Yeah.
Because there's also white ones and barely pink ones.
You've done a fascinating thing with the eye. I think there'd be a tendency for an artist to make the eye more prominent, but that's not the case with the flamingo. So here, you're barely seeing the eye. It's a yellow eye.
Right. And in some animals, the eye isn't as important as it is in others.
How about the intensity of the color right on top of the head, but it's not an orange anymore?
That's to bring out the orange. You go the opposite, so it's kind of a dark greenish color.
I'm now looking at a portrayal of a group of chicks. I'm trying to count these chicks, and I can't. There is one very prominent one, but the rest are little round balls of feathers. How many chicks are in this painting?
I have no idea. My son worked at a feed store, and they had them all the time, and I think he sent me some pictures. And then I went and saw them, and they were wonderful. So I've got to try and paint those.
The interesting thing about it is you leave so much for the imagination. So I did have a hard time. I still have a hard time figuring out how many chicks. I'm looking for eyes and beaks. But there are a lot of shapes. I can't figure out what they are, but my imagination is filling in.
In fact, I don't like a painting that shows every hair and every detail. I like the abstraction for the viewer to come in and look for what they can see with their experiences.
Well, I like that you're talking about these in terms of abstractions. Once a painting is of something identifiable, such as a chicken or a flamingo, there's a tendency to, I don't know, stop and not consider the design aspects, but you kind of force viewers to consider the design aspects and the rhythms because you do leave a lot out.
Right. And that's the kind of painting I like to see. And so I feel it works best for me.
How did you start this painting of the chicks? At first, when I looked at this, I thought, oh, I'm looking at clouds. But then I began seeing shapes. How did you start this painting of the chicks?
I think I did several sketches just because I was unfamiliar with the shapes, and then I just started drawing and painting on the paper.
And when did you know how to stop?
I really never do, but it just has to work as a composition. Enough darks and enough rhythm to it.
Let's take a look at Mr. Bunny again, because this is a bunny that almost did not exist anymore. What's the almost sad story about this bunny?
Well, I was kind of cleaning out all of my paintings, and this was on the rack to be thrown away. And when I looked at it, I thought, well, I'll play around with this and see if I can bring it back. And sure enough, I did. It's kind of a challenge to see how you can correct and make paintings work.
Well, it helps when you haven't seen it for a while.
Oh, yes. And because I had things stored away, and as I got them out, I hardly threw anything away. Because I just kept on painting.
Do you remember what you did to bring it to life again?
Just put in the darks and kind of repainted on top of it.
Well, I'm really reminded of what we were just talking about, how your art makes one see things and wonder if they're really there. Because what I am seeing right up here is the mouth of a cat about to pounce on that rabbit.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's how watercolor is accidental.
Well, life is like that too, isn't it?
Yes.
There was a period in your life, Francis, when you really enjoyed going out with other watercolor artists.
Yes. A group of us went out maybe once a month or more.
What's that like to paint with others? Is it intimidating? Do you worry about being watched and judged?
The very first time I was. But then after that, when I saw, and these are renowned painters, I saw them make mistakes and blow their paintings, I thought, oh, they make mistakes too. So it was a great experience.
As I recall, Ann Pierce, who of course had a great following in Chico as a professor at CSUC specializing in watercolor, she was one of these artists.
She was, and a dear friend of mine. And we painted together quite a bit. And Ruline Fillerup, Lois Perkins, it would be different people every time.
I remember that you had a show called The Bag Ladies at the Snidel Gallery.
Yes. In fact, a group of us were the Bag Ladies, and that's where we passed an object back and forth, and each of us had to paint it without talking to each other.
The life of an artist can be a very lonely one. That is, if you're just by yourself day after day in your studio without the stimulation of others. So it must have been really nice to have that group to work with.
Oh, it was. And to be able to talk art with other people that like to talk art, it was great.
Yeah, once artists get out of the university or the art school, sometimes they are suddenly thrown on their own and working in isolation.
Right. And I really need the counter talk, even if they don't agree with me. It's very good.
How do you like meeting the public, as you will on December 7th at the reception?
I like it fine. I get tired of smiling, but it's good. And I like to hear their comments and how they feel about the work.
Well, this is an absolutely glorious show, and just in time for the holidays when we want something that is glowing and beautiful. So do go to the Snidel Gallery, which is at 254 East 4th Street. That is not Avenue, that's Street, right across from the Hands in Chico. Thank you.
We have a couple of recordings to get you ready for the holiday next Thursday, all about Thanksgiving. Here's comedian Stan Freberg and his troupe with Stan Freberg Presents the United States of America, a satirical musical theater take on our country's earliest history.
November 1621. By now, the white man has arrived in great numbers, not only at Miami, but at Jamestown, at Plymouth, and at Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans have established a thriving colony, enjoying all the social and cultural refinements of a modern society.
Hiya, Harv. Who are you taking to the witch burning Saturday night?
Prudence Adams. Who are you taking to the Rotary Club luncheon?
I haven't got a date yet, but I hear it's going to be quite a spread.
Well, Mayor Pennypacker, how's it look for re-election?
Great, great, great. Never looked better.
Yeah, what about the Indian vote?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're not too popular with the Indians. They could lose you the election.
That's possible.
Well, they outnumber us.
Well, that's the trouble. You give them an inch and they take over.
But, Mayor, they were here before we were. We moved in on them.
So we did. Well, there's just something about them. They wear funny shoes. They don't even have buckles on them.
Be that as it may, election is Friday. You better make some gesture this week.
Like what?
Well, how about if you make a concession and pick an Indian as a running mate? You'd be sure to carry the Indian block.
What? Anything happened to me, you'd have a mayor that wasn't a Puritan. He'd probably take orders directly from Chief Powhatan.
Yeah.
Say, I got it. The big luncheon tomorrow, the one under the trees.
What about it?
We'll ask an Indian. That'll impress the rest of them.
We could even announce you're going to put one in your cabinet.
No need to go that far. Just have one to lunch.
It'll be great press.
Mayor Pennypacker comes out for equality. Justice. Votes. What a slogan. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Show him we're a regular bunch this week. Show him we're as liberal as can be. Let him know he's almost as good as we. Make a feathered friend feel fed this week. Overlook the fact he's red this week. Let him share our Quaker oats, 'cause he's useful when he votes. Take an Indian to lunch.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we tolerate? Indians, Indians, rah, rah, rah. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Let him sit right down and munch this week.
Let's give in and all do the brotherhood bit. Just make sure we don't make a habit of it. Take an Indian to dine this week. Show him we don't draw the line this week. We know everyone can't be as American as we. After all, we came over on the Mayflower. Take an Indian, not a wooden Indian, but a real life Indian to lunch.
Needless to say, the luncheon there under the trees was a great success, and a good time was had by Puritans and Indian alike. Everything came off beautifully, with the exception of one minor catastrophe.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey, Charlie?
Well, I cooked the turkey, that's all.
You put our national bird in the oven, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I...
And all of us had our mouths set for roast eagle with all the trimmings.
Yeah, well, I...
You did a thing like that?
Well, the two birds were lying there side by side.
The turkey was for the centerpiece, Charlie. I mean...
Well, they looked so much alike
we blew it now. They're all sitting down at the table out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Started on their little nut cups. Already. We just have to switch the birds, that's all.
Yeah, well...
Serve them turkey instead of eagle. But it's kind of scrawny looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stuff some old bread in it and make it look a little fatter.
You do that, okay?
Okay.
And now here's Chico's singer-songwriter Amir Malik with his own original Thanksgiving song.
I won't be coming home this year, I got too many bills to pay. So I'll be eating all alone on Thanksgiving Day. Well, this year has been so rough in each and every way, but I still got the time and love to write to you and say, Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because there's folks worse off than you. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because that is the righteous thing to do. Now I'm hoping for turkey this year, cause they keep running through my yard. But I can't seem to catch one, maybe I'm trying too hard. At least I know I'll have cranberries, cause I got their old CD. And I'll just dream about pumpkin pie to warm my cold belly. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because there's folks worse off than you. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because that is the righteous thing to do. Now if you're like me, you're thankful for the roof above your head. You're thankful for the good air that you now. I don't mind what others say, but as for me, I'm gonna strive to make every day a Thanksgiving day. Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because that is the righteous thing to do. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because there's folks worse off than you. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're giving thanks, because that is the righteous thing to do. Now I'm wishing a happy Thanksgiving Day to you.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. From all of us here at NSPR, happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.